4 of the 1997 Braille Light 2000 user guide. Continue accepting 5.3, the reading text.
To find out where the cursor is with the WH sign code, the Braille Light should say column 0, cursor at 1. Now enter the delete parameters menu with a D code. The Braille Light says, enter delete parameter. Let's write a C for a character. When we write the C, the Braille Light says character. It's now waiting for you to tell it how many characters you want to delete. If we only want to get rid of one character, the one currently under the cursor, which happens to be the .6 that capitalizes the word this in our text, all we have to do at this point is press an E chord. The Braille Light assumes that we meant to delete only the character under the cursor. Or, if you're in a real hurry and just want to delete the character currently under the cursor, just press D chord twice. Try that now. Press a second D chord. Press the .36 chord to read the character under the cursor. The Braille Light says this. Good. It worked. We deleted the .6, capitalizing the word this. Now let's suppose we want to delete a few words. We want to get rid of the words this is A. So let's re-enter the delete parameters menu with a D chord, and at the prompt, enter delete parameter, let's write a W. This time, however, when the Braille Light says word, let's write a C. Remember to write an ASCII C, a drop C, and press an E chord. Now, do a .36 chord to see where the cursor is. The Braille Light says T. Press a .25 chord to read the current word. The cursor is on the T of the word cursor. To delete lines, at the prompt enter delete parameter, write an L. To delete sentences, write an F. To delete paragraphs, write a C. And remember that the Braille Light thinks of a paragraph as all text between two or more players return. Now, let's take another example of deleting text, but this time, let's add the current deletion to the past tense instead of entering it. Using this method of deleting text can be useful when you're doing a lot of deletions in a file and want to be able to recover a deletion you made a while back in the current editing session. However, be clear that this process only works as long as you don't do another kind of activity that affects the clipboard. If you add deleted text to the clipboard and then perform an insertion, the deleted text you added to the past tense will be lost. Get to the end of the currently opened file with about 456 chord and press the child return, .46 chord. Right. This is a test of adding deleted text to the clipboard. Finish with another character return. Then move your cursor back to the beginning of the text you just wrote. You should be on the .6 of the first word, this. And we're about to delete this whole line of text, just as before, except that now we'll add the deleted line to the clipboard instead of emptying out the clipboard first and then placing this text in it. Press a D chord to enter the delete parameters menu. Write an L so you can delete the current line. Then press an IMG sign chord to execute the deletion. Your Braille Light says, appended, OK. The line we just deleted is now in the clipboard appended to whatever text was already there from a previous deletion, or insertion, or whatever. All of these parameters work the same way as outlined above in the example of deleting a character and deleting lines. In summary, to delete a single chunk of text, you place your cursor somewhere within the text you want to delete. Enter the delete parameters menu with a D chord, write the appropriate parameter for character, word, line, sentence, or a paragraph, and press an E chord. To delete groups of characters, words, lines, sentences, and paragraphs, you need to follow the parameter letter designation with a number, and then press an E chord. Incidentally, From deleting sentences, you don't have to be in read-by-sentence mode. However, when you delete lines, it's a good idea to be in read-by-lines mode. Just to be on the safe side. To delete from the current cursor location to the end of the file, write a Z at the prompt, enter delete parameter. The write says all. If you press an E chord, all text from your current cursor location to the very last character in your file is wiped away. But be aware that even though your text is gone, the file size is still the same. It's not as if you ripped pages out of your binder. It's more as if you took an eraser and wiped out all the writing on those pages, except the pages themselves. Oops, we changed our minds and don't want to delete anything after all. For we do want to delete something, but realize we haven't placed the cursor on the text we want to delete. And we've already pressed a D chord. The easiest way to avoid a delete command is to press a Z chord from wherever you are in the deleting process. Of course, once you press an E chord, it's too late. The bell light has executed your delete command. As mentioned earlier, you might be able to recover from such a mistake if you move fast. But we won't complicate matters here with that procedure. Just know that you might be able to retrieve text out of the trash can if you haven't closed the lid yet, so to speak. What if we want to wipe out the contents of this file, sort of like erasing a blackboard? Understand that you're not talking about deleting the file itself here, just its contents. Here again, you can use the Z for zapping the contents away. Let's go through an example of zapping a file's contents, or part of a file, without deleting the file itself. Get to the physical page 2 that we created a little while ago. We'll erase everything that's on that page. First, get to the top of the file with an L chord so that we're all starting from the same place. Find the hard page break control character. Remember how to use the find command and how to write control characters? Press an F chord. At the prompt, enter text to find, press an X chord followed by an L. The bell light says control L. Then press an E chord. The bell light should say, this is page 2. Yes. That's what we had written after that control L. Good. Let's get rid of the junk that we wrote for practice on page 2. Look what's under the cursor first, though. Cursor .36 chord. The bell light says control L. Do we want to get rid of the form field character? No. We still want to have a physical page 2. We just want to get rid of all the text on it. So, let's move the character to the right with a .6 chord. Now we should be on the .6 as the first word after the control L. Enter the delete parameters menu with a D chord. When the bell light says, enter delete parameter, write a Z. The bell light says, all. Press an E chord. Now the bell light says, OK. What's under the cursor? Check it out with a .36 chord. It should be on the control L. We suggest you practice deleting text for a bit. Write some junk text, then move your cursor to various places within the file and delete different sections of text. Write a couple of sentences and get into the read-by-sentence mode, then delete a sentence. Try deleting the entire contents of the file, too. After all, this is only practice. You can't lose anything important. Next, we're going to look at inserting text, so we'll assume that you're starting with a blank text file again. .4 Inserting text. As we have pointed out, when you write, text is appended to the end of the file, unless you specifically issue a command to overwrite existing text or to insert text prior to the end of the file. You can insert up to one Braille-like page, 4096 characters worth of text, at one time, anywhere in your currently open file. In fact, there's a way you can insert even more tests than that at one time, as we'll see shortly. When you issue the insert command, you enter an insert buffer, a scrap pad of sorts. This is called the clipboard. Yes, it's that same file that served as a trash can for deleting text in the last section. You'll recall that the text is not actually thrown away into the trash can until you press an E-code or perform some other function, like inserting text. Similarly, when you're inserting text, it is not actually moved from the clipboard and added to your file until you press an E-code. If you decide to cancel the insertion, you can press a Z-code at any time and no text is inserted into your file. Until you perform another function, like deleting text, using the Braille Light's calendar, calculator, or clock, the text you had started to insert remains in the clipboard. This is why we're calling it a scratch pad for inserting text rather than a trash can, as we did for deleting text. While in the scratch pad, you can use the backspace B-code to erase characters just as you can when you're writing. And you can see what you've written thus far by pressing a C-code. In fact, all the reading commands work while you're in insert mode. As with the trash can for deleting text, a scratch pad can also run out of room to scribble the text you want to insert. If you plan to insert large blocks of text into your file, you should make the clipboard big enough to hold the block. Otherwise, you'll have to keep inserting segments of the large block of text, no longer than 4,096 characters each. That can be time-consuming and confusing with a large block of text. Generally, you move large blocks around when you're copying from one file to another, and we'll show you later on how to paste text from the clipboard into your file. For now, though, let's take a simple example of inserting text. Let's write a sentence in your empty file process. Make sure you're at the top of the file with an L-code and that it's empty with a C-code. If it is, when you press a C-code, you'll hear file is empty. Right, this is a practice session on how to insert text into a file. Let's add the word learning before the word how. Move your cursor back to the word how by pressing dot C-code until your Braille light says how. Press the dot 3-6 code to see what's under the cursor. It should be any H of how. Now, press an I-code. Your Braille light says insert mode after. Write the word learning followed by a space and press an E-code to let the Braille light insert the text. The Braille light says OK. Now check what's under the cursor. It should be in a space, the last character you inserted. Read the entire sentence with a C-code. It now says, this is a practice session on learning how to insert text into a file. Later, you'll see how easy it is to insert calculation results or calendar information into your file without retyping it. We'll discuss those more sophisticated features in the respective sections in Section 3. Practice writing text and inserting things within it, deleting text, etc. Get comfortable with these word processing basics before you move on to the next section on cutting and pasting text. New. 4.5. Copying text into your file. The clipboard can also be a temporary storage area for text you want to move or copy from one place to another in your file, or even between files. In section 6.10, we will talk about copying the contents of an entire file into the currently open file. But here, we'll concentrate on copying and moving text within our currently open file practice. As we saw in section 5.3, the clipboard can store text you put into it in a couple of different ways. Remember that when you're deleting text, you have the option of entering the trash can, the clipboard, Every time you delete something, or adding the content, you're deleting to whatever's already in the picture. When you copy text into the picture, the process is somewhat similar. That is, you can empty the picture before you copy your text into it, or you can append the text you're copying into the clipboard to whatever is already in the clipboard. Again, it's critical to keep in mind that whichever method you choose, when you perform any other activity that affects the clipboard, any text in the clipboard at that time is wiped out. So these methods are only temporary means of storing data. To copy or move a chunk of text, you have to mark one end of it. Then you can work with the block of text, preceding or following the mark. Start out with a clean slate. Empty out your file and write the sentence, "This is a practice session on learning how to copy text into a file." Follow this sentence with two character terms to prepare for a new paragraph. Now let's copy the text, "This is a practice session," including the space after the word session. We'll put it after the two character terms. To do this, find the beginning of the text we want to copy. In this case, it's easy. Simply go to the top of the file with an L chord. To mark the beginning of the text, press an M chord. The bell icon says, "Mark, OK." Now move your cursor forward with .5 chord until you're on the word "on." Essentially, what you're doing is marking the beginning of the text we want to work with and marking its end by placing the cursor where we want to start. Noon. To copy the marked text into the cursor, the text says CH same chord, .126 chord. The bell light says, "Copy or append, press C or A." Write a C if you want to wipe out the contents of the clipboard before your text is copied into it. Write an A if you want the text you're copying to be added to whatever is already in the clipboard. If you write a C, the bell light responds with "copied." If you write an A, the bell light says "appended." In either case, you're left exactly where you started from when you began this copying process. For our example, we'll respond to the prompt "copy" or "append" plus COA with C, so that the text we're copying into the clipboard is the only text in the clipboard. If we went to the file called clipboard now, we'd see that our marked text, "This is a practice session," is stored there. Let's copy this marked text back into our currently open file. By the way, notice that the text is not removed from your file. If you press a C chord, you hear, "This is a practice session in learning how to copy text into a file." Press a .456 chord to get to the end of the file. Then press an RMG sign chord, .346 chord. The bell light says, "Case what?" Write a letter C to copy the contents of the clipboard into your file. Since you can paste other information into your file, such as a date from the calendar, you must respond to the prompt, "Paste what?" In this case, with a C for copy text. The bell light says, "Clipboard, OK." If interactive mode is on, it adds, "This is a practice session." New. Also, keep in mind that we chose to empty the clipboard before we copied text into it. So, when we invoked the RMG sign chord to paste the text from the clipboard back into our file, or to another file for that matter, the only text that got pasted was the text we had copied into the clipboard. But suppose, on the other hand, that we added the text we wanted to copy into the clipboard, and the clipboard already had other text in it, say, from a previous deletion. In that case, when we invoke the RMG sign chord to paste the text we had copied into the clipboard back into our file, everything in the clipboard would get pasted. The text we had copied and whatever else had been in the clipboard before. Such a situation can either be wonderful or disastrous, unless you're careful. So, plan ahead when answering the pH phone cord prompt that says copy or append to press COA. If you do choose to add text to the clipboard, make sure you know exactly what the clipboard already had stored in it. Or you could be very surprised at what gets pasted into your file. Back in our example now, let's see what's under the cursor. With a .36 cord, you'll see that the cursor is on the .6 of the word this. But wait a minute. Didn't we say earlier that the brain light always appends text to the end of the file? Why did we have to do a .456 cord to get to the end of the file before copying the text from the clipboard? Let's find out. Go back to the top of the file with an L cord. Press the G sign cord, then write a C. Now read the current line. We think you're here. This is a practice session. This is a practice session on learning how to copy text into a file. What happened? The bell light inserted the text where your cursor was, not at the end of the file. Text gets appended to the end of the file only when you are writing it, not when you're copying it. Incidentally, having a mark at a significant place in your file, such as a particular account number you're always needing to look at, means that you can jump through that mark quickly. Please press a number sign cord, followed by an M. You may recall that pressing a number sign cord brings up the prompt new, but this command also recognizes mark. Pressing number sign cord M immediately jumps you to the mark, and the bell light will read you the first line of the mark text. But what a mess we made in our example. Let's get rid of this extra garbage before we get thoroughly mixed up. .6, deleting blocks of text. There are two methods for deleting a portion of text. The first way to prepare a portion of text for deletion is to mark one end of it, just as we did for copying in the previous section. Get to the top of the file with an L cord and press an M cord. The bell light says mark, OK. Now move the cursor to the second occurrence of the word this. Enter the delete parameters menu with a D cord. At the prompt, enter delete parameter, write an M. The bell light confirms mark. Enter an E cord. The bell light says OK. Now read the current line. You're here. This is a practice session on learning how to copy text into a file. That extra text is gone. The second way to prepare a portion of text for deletion is to block it from the current cursor location to the next occurrence of a particular word or string of characters. Place your cursor on the first character of the text you want to delete. Enter the delete parameters menu and at the enter delete parameters prompt, write a B for block delete. Then write the specific string of characters that marks the place where you want deletion to stop. Press an E cord. The bell light finds the next occurrence of the string you provided and deletes everything from your current cursor location at T, but not including that string of characters. Here's an example. Empty out your practice file first, so we're all starting from the same place. Then write, this is a practice session. We are learning about block copying and block deleting. You want to get rid of some text, but you don't want to start all over again. So move your cursor to the beginning of the sentence, in our case, to the top of the file. We want to take everything out up to the word we. Press the D cord to bring up the delete parameters menu and at the enter delete parameters prompt, write a B. The bell light says block. Then write the word we. If your file is indeed too small, as we assume here, you should make sure to include the .6 which capitalizes we in a sentence. Otherwise, everything is deleted, including the bad fit. And your sentence will start with a lowercase letter, W. And your character string with an E-code. The block of text is gone. And your cursor should now be on the dot six that capitalizes V. And since your cursor had been at the beginning of the file, it should still be there. Except that now, the first word in the file is V. Play around with the concept of copying text from one place to another and deleting blocks of text. In section 6.10, you'll learn how to copy an entire file into your currently open file. Oh well, if you happen to copy the wrong file into the one you have open, at least now you know how to delete all that unwanted text. Right now, let's turn to another powerful editing tool, the Find and Replace function. 5.7. Find and Replace Text. A computer's ability to replace text can be a goldmine and save you a lot of retyping. But if you replace the wrong text, you could find yourself with a massive editing job ahead of you. So read through this section with care. Let's see how it works. You begin with the F chord that we learned about in section 3.5.2. When you hear the prompt, enter text to find, you write the text you want the braille light to look for. But instead of pressing an E chord, as we showed you, to have the braille light perform the search, press an R chord. The braille light then says, enter replacement text. Write the new text that you want to replace the old text, and press an E chord, so that the braille light knows what the new text is. Now you hear, replace, skip, R. Write the first letter of replace, R, S, or A. Selecting R replaces the current occurrence of the text you asked the braille light to find with the text you want to substitute. Selecting S tells the braille light to skip this occurrence of the text you asked it to find and to go find the next occurrence. When it finds that next occurrence, the braille light asks you the question again, replace, skip, R. You could go along in this way, checking each occurrence of the text you want found and possibly replaced. Press a C chord when you arrive at an occurrence of the text to make sure whether you want to replace it or skip it. If you're definitely sure that you want to replace all occurrences of the text you ask the braille light to find, select the letter A from the prompt, replace, skip, R. We suggest great caution, at least at first, with a global replacement. You'll see why in our next example. Suppose you're writing an article about the TV show Entertainment Tonight, often referred to as ET. Who wants to write out the full name of the program each time it's mentioned? In the days of the typewriter, you had no choice, but now you can just write capital ET throughout your file, and then do a global replacement as the abbreviation when you're finished. In this particular example, what do you think happens if you replace every instance of ET with the real name of the program? Which words like better, neat, and countless others are captured as well, and you have a lot of work ahead of you to clean up the mess. But if you have the setting for distinguishing capital letters turned on, and searched only for the letters capital E-T, a global replacement of that abbreviation could save you a lot of time and energy. The truth is that you have to be very careful when replacing text globally. It's an invaluable tool, and experience will show you how to wield it effectively. One especially treacherous pit that most word processing geniuses have fallen into at one time or another has to do with replacing format strings or control characters. For example, don't think you can just replace every instance of a carriage return with a space or two spaces just with one or a bunch of asterisks that make a pretty border around text with nothing at all. If, for instance, there are 65 asterisks going across a line to make a demarcation visually between one set of text and the next, And you tell the Braille light to place every two asterisks you use nothing, so that you can have a Braille file free of these extraneous decorations. Guess what happens when you replace them all? That's right, you still have one left. See, since there were 65 of them, and you told the Braille light to take out each set of two, there's one left over. This is only a minor example of using global replacement without thinking it through carefully. On the other hand, the time saved in not having to write out Braille light every time we've used the phrase throughout this manual is a real godsend, we promise you. Every instance of BLT turns into Braille light. Again, we recommend that you practice writing some text and then replacing parts of it till you're comfortable with the concept. In the next chapter, you'll discover how to manipulate files themselves. But before you tackle that, get real comfortable with all of the concepts we covered in this chapter. We covered a lot of ground. Chapter 6, Manipulating Files. As you see, the Braille light lets you create files to enter your personal data. Soon you'll have many files in your Braille light, and we'll need to do things like rename them, change their sizes, and simply open them to read and write in them. You might want to look at a list of your files, delete ones you no longer need, and create new ones. All of these options are handled through the Files menu. What's the name of the currently opened file? When we turn on the Braille light, we hear Braille light ready, file name is open. Recall that the Braille light knows what file you were in and where your cursor was within that file the last time you turned it off. So when you turn the Braille light on again, hearing that file's name and seeing it displayed are very helpful. But what if you're working in a file and get interrupted by a long phone call, or if you just can't remember what file you were working in before lunch, and you forgot to turn off the Braille light? Hopefully you weren't running on battery, wasting valuable battery time. Anyway, you just want to know the name of the file that's open. You could press a V cord, normally used to abort commands, from anywhere within your currently open file to hear its name, size, and whether their translation is on for this file. Since we're concentrating on the file's menu options in this chapter, however, let's see how to find out its name from there. Enter the file's menu. Remember how we did this before to create our practice file? First, enter the options menu with an O chord and the Braille light says options. Then jump to the choice by writing an F. You are prompted, enter file command. Write a T to hear practice one page Braille file is open, enter file command. This tells us that the open file is our practice file, that it is one Braille light page in size, and that it is a Braille or grade 2 file. Finally, we hear the file's menu prompt again, enter file command. The Braille display actually gives us more information than does the voice. Notice that the display reads something like 4, practice, 1, 2, 3, 1, TB. You'll probably have to tap the advance bar forward one time to see the entire message. There's a lot of information about the file here. You are shown its number, its name, the number of bytes or characters in the file, including spaces and control characters, the number of Braille-like pages the file contains, and finally a letter B if Braille translation is turned on for the file. We'll explain what the file's number means later in this chapter and how to hear such detailed information about the file spoken. But for now, just focus on the fact that you can see the file's name, how big it is, and whether Braille translation is on or off. Remember that we're in the file's menu now, looking at the name of the currently open file. to get back into the file wherever you had stopped in it, just as with the file's menu with the letter E. Exit is one of the choices on the file's menu. Any time you want to exit the file's menu to return to your currently open file, simply write an E and the bell light says exit. By the way, pressing an E chord or a V chord also exits the file's menu. New 6.1 Exploring the File Command Menu. There are so many things you can do with the files menu that we decided to include a way from within the files menu for you to view a list of all its commands. It's true that you can simply invoke a files menu command with a single keystroke, and most of them are very intuitive, like see for create a file. But there are just so many that having a list of them readily available is helpful. In the following sections of this chapter, we'll go through many of the commands you can issue from within your files menu. But in the present section, let's just check out the list of commands the files menu has available. From wherever you are in your currently open file, press an O chord to bring up the option menu, and then write an F to hear the prompt Enter File Command. From the Enter File Command prompt, press a TH sign chord dot 1456 chord. Notice that this is the same command that invokes help from within your currently open file. The bell light says File Command Menu and waits for you to press something else. Now, recall from our exploration of the status menu way back in Chapter 1 that there are certain standards for navigating around a menu or a list on a bell light. These also hold true here. Press the C chord to hear the current command choice, in this case, Exit Files Menu. Press a dot 4 chord to hear the next command choice, Create File. Press the dot 1 chord to hear the previous one, the one we were just on, Exit Files Menu. Pressing dot 456 chord takes you to the last command choice in the list, Change Name of Current Folder. And pressing an O chord takes you back to the first command choice, Exit Files Menu. There are so many files menu commands that we won't spend time here listing them all, but see Appendix B for a complete list. For the remainder of this chapter, we'll concentrate on the commands we use the most from within the files menu, and in other sections of this manual, we cover the other commands available from within the files menu where appropriate. To exit the list of commands available in the files menu, and hear the Enter File Command prompt itself again, simply write an invalid keystroke, like a V, for instance, and you'll hear Invalid File Command, Enter File Command. I'll point to one of the valid command choices in the command list, use dot 4 chords and dot 1 chords, and press an E chord to invoke it. So, for example, from the command list prompt, File Command Menu, press a C chord and here Exit Files Menu, then a dot 4 chord and here Create File. Pressing an E chord at this point causes the bell light to prompt you Enter Name of File to Create. Remember, you can always abort the process with a V chord, so do that now if you don't really want to create a new file at this time. If you press a V chord from within the File Command Menu, you get kicked out of the files menu altogether and end up back in your currently open file, wherever you left off, not at the Enter File Command prompt. So it's important to know where you are in this process, or you could find yourself writing something in your currently open file that you intended to be a response to a files menu command. Just be clear that you understand. When you press O chord, and then write an F, you hear Enter File Command. This is a prompt from the files menu itself. When you press a TH sign chord and hear File Command Menu, you're in a list of available commands within the files menu. Experiment a bit. navigate around the file command menu a little before moving on to the rest of this chapter. There's a lot to cover, so don't move on until you're ready. Listing your files. Right now, you should have very few files in your download. Some from the factory and the practice file we created together. But as you keep stressing, it won't be long before you have many files in your download. So let's see how to get a listing of the files you have and how to move from file to file. Remember how to get into the files menu? From our currently open file, press an O key and then write an F to bring up the prompt Enter File Command. From the Files menu, write the letter L to check out your current list of files. Write a Q to get a quick list, just the file name, or write a V to get a verbose listing with all relevant file information about each file. Press a V chord to copy your files list temporarily to the clipboard. Let's check out how many files we have. You should be in your practice file. It doesn't matter what text you have in it right now. We'll just assume that you're starting from there. Get into the files menu with an O chord followed by the letter F. At the prompt, enter file command, write an L. The bar line should say something like this. Files list. Help, 6 pages, clipboard, 1 page, calendar.brl, 1 page, bail file, spell.dic, 86 pages, practice, 1 page, bail file, 67 pages remaining, enter file command. The number of pages remaining depends on the number of files that came with your unit from the factory, of course, and also depends on the sizes of your files. This is just an example. New. As we mentioned above, on the bare display, you actually see more information than what is spoken, some of which is abbreviated. For example, when listing a file, the braille light says something like one page braille file, but it displays 1TB. If the file has the grade 2 braille translator turned off, it just announces the number of pages in the file and displays the number of pages followed by a T for a text file, like 1TP. And if you hear the voice call the file an external program, the display shows the number of pages in the file followed by an X. So, to recap, when the file is listed, on the display you see the file's number, then its name, then its size, and finally the number of braille-like pages it contains, and whether it is a braille file, a text file, or an external program. If you tap the advance bar forward or backward to see the next or previous files listed, and speech is on, that file's information is also spoken as it comes up on the display. Notice that at the end of the list, you hear Enter File Command. You're still in the files menu after hearing your file list. Let's check that our practice file is still the currently open file with a T. The braille light should say, Practice 1 page braille file is open. Enter File Command. For practice purposes, let's create a couple of new files before we look at how to move from file to file. Create a file called temp, T-E-M-P, for temporary, and another called name. We'll use the name file as an address book later on. We'll walk you through creating the temp file and let you create names by yourself. To create the file temp, press on O chord and at the option prompt, write an F to enter the file's menu. At the prompt, enter file command, write a C. The bell light says, enter file to create. Write temp, T-E-M-P, and press an E chord. The bell light says, enter the file size. Let's make this a file with 2 bell light pages, so that we can play with the size of this temp file later. Write OP, a dropped B, and then press an E chord. The bill right now says, use grade P translator, enter wire in. Set a wire. The bill right says, temp now open. Go ahead and create the main file. You'll be in that file, ready to write something, when you finish creating it. If you like, you may enter a few names and addresses, phone numbers, etc. A good idea is to write a single carriage return between each part of an entry and a double carriage return between entries. For example, Jane Doe, carriage return, 1600 Pennsylvania Ave, carriage return, Washington, D.C., double carriage return. John Doe, single carriage return, 555-1234, double carriage return. This way you can move from entry to entry by simply pressing .56 chords to move forward or .32 chords to move backward. We'll assume that you're in the file name as we proceed with our next topic, showing you how to move from file to file. Navigating through your files. Now let's explore moving from the beginning to the end of our existing files, checking out the names of each file along the way. We know how to get a list of all the files, but how do we quickly find the first file, or the last one, or one somewhere in the middle? Each file in the bill light is numbered, starting with 0 for the help file. Moving to a file does not mean you can read it or write in it. All we're doing is pointing to files, physically moving to the place in the Braille light's memory where the file is located, something like finding the tab in our binder of files. When you find a tab, you check out its name and either turn to the pages within it or you move to the next tab, or to the previous one, or skip to the last one, or to the first one in your binder. That's all we're doing here. To move from file to file, get into the Files menu with an O chord followed by an F. At the Enter File command prompt, you can do the following. To move to the first file, press an L chord. To move to the last file, press a .456 chord. To move back one file in the list, press a .1 chord, and to move to the next one in the list, press a .4 chord. To see the name of the file you're currently pointing to, press a .3 chord, and to spell out its name, press a .25 chord. Does anything sound familiar about these commands? They sound suspiciously similar to the commands for navigating around the currently open file, finding the top of a file with an L chord, reading the current line with a C chord, spelling the current word with a .25 chord, etc. You can memorize the commands to move from file to file quickly by remembering how similar they are to the ones you already know. The major difference is that when you use one of these commands from the Files menu, it points to a file. Then it reads you the file's name, the number of pages it contains, and whether their translation is active for that file. Yes. If all you want to hear is a file's name, though, without any other information about it, from within the file's menu, just press a .3 chord to move back a file and .6 chord to move forward a file. The bell light says the file's name and waits for you to enter another file's menu command. Remember that all you're doing is .3 chord and .6 chord, just as this .1 chord and .4 chord is pointing to your file's name. If you exit the file's menu after hearing your file's name, you'll find yourself back in whatever file you had opened before you brought up the file's menu. Certainly, we'll show you how to open a file once you're pointing to it from within the Files menu. But first, practice navigating through the Files list itself. From your currently open file, name, press an O chord followed by an F to get the prompt Enter File command. Now press on all chords. The bell light should say something like, File number 0, help, 6 pages. Now, press A.4 chord to hear, Clipboard, 1 page. Press another .4 chord to hear, Calendar.brl, 1 page, bell file. Press .1 chord to go back a file and hear, Clipboard, 1 page. Press A.25 chord to hear the name of this file spelled out. File number 1, Clipboard, CLIPBOARD, 1 page. Press .6 chord to hear just the name of the next file in the list, Calendar.brl, and then a .3 chord to hear the previous file's name again, Clipboard. Just for fun, let's see what happens when you write a P. Maybe you can't remember which file you last opened. The bell light should say, Names 1 page bell file is open, enter file command. Now press a C chord. The bell light says, Clipboard 1 page. Why? Well, even though the currently open file is named, we're looking at the tab for the file called Clipboard. See the difference? The file we're pointing to may not be the one that's open. If we want to open the file we're pointing to, we have to tell the bell light to open that file with an O chord. Knowing whether the file you're pointing to in the files list is currently open is crucial. Basically, you can issue a file's menu command to affect a file in two ways. If the file is already open, you can affect it with a command from the file's menu by writing the first letter of the command, for example, R for rename. But if the file is not open, you must point to it first and issue the command from the file's menu with its corresponding letter chord command, for example, an R chord for rename. Let's look at how to open a file next. Opening an existing file. So we're moving along, checking the names of our files, and run across the one we want to open, even though we have names open already. We stop at Clipboard. That's not a good file to open because that's the bell light task chain, scratch pad, and temporary storage area. Let's get back into our old practice file. At the prompt, enter file command, press a few .4 chords until you hear, practice, 1 page, bell file. Press an O chord. The bell light says, practice now open. We can go ahead and read or write here. What happened to me? How nice that the bell light took care of closing it and saving that file for us without our having to do anything. This is a departure from the usual procedures you follow with files on your standard personal computer. The bell light is unique in that you never have to save a file. Not when you go to open another file, not when you turn off the unit. It seems simple enough to open a file by moving to it and opening it with an O chord when you just have a few files. But think about what it would be like to have to do that if you have 40 files. What's an easier way? If you know the name of the file you want to open, all you have to do is tell the bell light its name, and the unit will find it and open the file for you. For instance, let's say you're in the file practice and want to go back to the file name. Press an O chord followed by an S to get to the file's menu prompt, enter file command. Then, write the letter O. The bell light says, enter file to open. Write out the name of the file and press an E chord. Almost instantaneously, the bell light says, names now open. If you're in a file and realize you need some information from the file you last opened, press an O chord followed by the letter L to bring up that file again. You don't even need an E chord. The bell light remembers what file you opened last and takes you there, placing you at whatever point you'd stopped in that file. Pressing O chord L again returns you to the file from which you started, at the point where you'd stopped working in it. Or you can flip back and forth between the last two files you've opened by pressing .1256 chords. So for example, if you have names open but want to check something in your practice file, which was the file you had opened last, just press an O chord L to bring up the practice file. Then, when you finish getting what you need from it, return to your names file in a flash by pressing another O chord L. Even if you turn off the Braille light, it remembers the last two files you had opened. So, when you turn the machine on again, not only does it place you back in the file in which you were last working at the point you had stopped, it can jump you to the file you had opened before that one, and place you at the point you had stopped in it as well. This feature can be especially useful if you find yourself juggling between, say, your calendar file and your main file all the time. Now for practice, try opening a file that doesn't exist. Bring up the files menu with an A chord F. At the prompt, enter file command, write hello, and press an E chord. The bell light says, can't find that file, enter file command. This means that the file doesn't exist or that you wrote an incorrect name. If you really think you have a file by the name you wrote, it might be that you spelled it differently. So, you can move around from file to file with .4 chords and .1 chords until you're pointing to it, hear its correct spelling with a .25 chord, and then open it with an O chord. And speaking of file names and how you spell them, take care how you name your file. What do you think will happen if you name a file Mary using Grade 2 Braille? The Braille light will let you name your file that way. It's not smart enough to know that you're writing Grade 2 Braille when you're in the files menu. The Braille translation works only from within a file. What happens when a file called Mary, written in Grade 2 Braille, is pointed to, opened, appears as part of a files list, etc.? The Braille light says, comma, M, greater, Y. It sees the .6 and AR signs all as ASCII symbols, not as contracted Braille. So we suggest that you always name your files using uncontracted Braille. Did you use Grade 2 Braille when you created names? If so, don't worry. You'll see how to rename it shortly. But first, let's check out another way to open files using a shortcut number. New 6.5, opening an existing file by its number. As we've pointed out, the Braille display shows you not only the names of your files, it shows you how your files are numbered in the Braille light. Did you notice, when we moved from file to file, that file numbers, as well as file names, were spoken? When we go to the beginning of the files list from the files menu with an L chord, or to the end of the list with the .456 chord, and even when we press a C chord to see the name of the file currently being pointed to, the Braille light always says something like, File 0, help 6 pages. This is because files in the Braille light's memory are numbered sequentially. You can have a maximum of 127 files in RAM and 992 in flash, assuming that each file is small. Actually, the number of files you can have in the Braille light at any given time varies with their sizes at that time. If you have a file with 30 Braille light pages, a substantial size by the way, chances are the total number of files you will be able to fit in the Braille light will be far less than the upper limits we provide here. We suggest you create small files and add Braille light pages to them as needed, rather than have valuable space taken up with blank Braille light pages. But to get back to the original point of this section, The Braille light number file sequentially. The help file is 0, the clipboard is 1, and so on. If you frequently need to jump to a certain file, just open the file by its number. Note, it's important to keep in mind that although the Braille light can hold up to 127 files on RAM, you can get to only the first 100 files by using the two-digit number from 00 to 99. For files numbered higher than 99, you need to open them through the files menu. Also, files stored in Flash cannot be opened by number. Typical details are in Appendix A. For our present discussion, though, let's see an example of opening a two-digit numbered file located in the RAM portion of your unit. Bring up the help file from whatever file you're in right now. What's the easiest way, remember? Press a TH sign cord and the bell light jumps into the help file with the prompt, help is open. Depending on how many files were loaded into your unit from the factory, the number in our example may be off. But go ahead and open the file whose number we suggest anyway for practice. For example, let's say that you want to get into the fifth file on your Braille light. That might be the file we created a little while ago called temp. From the help file, press an A cord, and you'll hear the prompt option. Now, instead of getting into the files menu as we've been doing, simply write 04, remembering to use that number. Why 04? The numbers of the file start with 0 for the help file. Therefore, the fifth file in the Braille light is numbered 04. The Braille light says something like, temp now open. It's that easy. You don't even have to press an E-code. In this case, the Braille light doesn't need it. What happens if you write the number for a non-existent file, like 9? Given our present number of 6 files. No problem. The bell light merely says, file doesn't exist, and leaves you exactly where you were in your currently open file. Of course, if you try to write the file's number in grade 2 there, the letter I instead of the ASCII dropped I, the bell light will really reject your request, saying invalid input, and leave you exactly where you were in your currently open file. The thing to be careful of in using the O cord from within a file to get to the options menu is that if you write a letter, the Braille light thinks is a real option, like the letter F we've been working with, it will take you to that option. In the case of the letter F, we already know it's the files menu. Now let's move forward with several housekeeping file commands. Point 6, renaming a file. How about changing the name of our file called temp to drill? We're just going to practice doing things to this file as if it had data, so we can carry with it without danger of messing up anything important. We'll assume that your currently open file is temp. Let's enter the files menu in the usual way, with an O cord followed by an F. At the enter file command prompt, write an R. The Braille light says, enter file name. Write the file name, Braille, and press an E cord. The Braille light says, okay, enter file command. Note that we're still in the files menu. To get back into our currently open file, now called Braille, all we have to do is write an E to enter the files menu. But what if we want to change the name of another file, one that is not currently open? The first thing to do is point to the file. Remember how that's done? Let's change the name of the file name to address. We don't have to open that file, you just have to point to it. So from the files menu at the enter file command prompt, press a couple of .4 chords until you're on main. Then click on R chord. The bell light says, enter harmony. Write address, followed by an E chord. The bell light now says, OK, enter higher command, just as it did before. Where will you be when you press an E to enter the files menu? Right. Back in the file drawer, because that is the currently open file. Notice the difference in the two commands just discussed for renaming a file. You issue the command with R if the file is currently open, and with R chord if you are pointing to the file but it is not currently open. Keep this in mind as we move through the next few commands. They work the same way. Page 7. Write protecting and unprotecting a file. To guard against a serious blunder, such as accidentally deleting your address file, you can protect files from deletion or from being overwritten in some way. For files that are absolutely essential, it is a good idea, especially if you want to try out a new command on the bare light that affects files, for example, changing its size. Protecting a file is like putting a lock on it, in effect, safeguarding yourself against leaving or scrambling its contents. The protect and unprotect commands work the same way as many other commands within the file's menu. If the file is already open, writing a P from the file's menu protects the file. If the file is not already open, point to it first, then issue a P chord command to protect it. The corresponding command pair is the letter U and U chord for unprotecting files. Let's go through an example. Open your file called Draw, if you're not already in it. Now get into the file's menu with an O chord followed by an F. At the Enter File command prompt, write a P. The bell light says, file is right protected, Enter File command. Exit the file's menu with an E and try writing something in your Draw file. Every time you write a character, the bell light says, file is right protected. Oh, you can read the file just fine, but now you can't write anything in it. In fact, the drill file has nothing in it right now anyway. But if it did, you would only be able to read its contents, not write in the file. Let's protect our address file, shall we? You wouldn't want to lose that. Bring up the file's menu, use an O chord followed by an F, and at the Enter File command prompt, press M.4 chords, M.1 chords until you're changing to address. Now press a Q chord. The bell light says, file is right protected, Enter File command. Great. Even though the address file is not currently open, the word is protected by pointing to it first and then issuing a Q chord. Now let's get back to our drill file and unprotect it in case we want to write something in it, or do something else with the file. Just exit the file's menu with an E. Remember, you never opened your address file, just protected it. So now you should be back in drill. Bring up the file's menu and at the Enter File command prompt, write a U. The bell light says, unprotect, Enter File command. That's fine. Simply exit the file's menu with an E and write something in your drill file. You should be able to do that with no hitches now that the file is unprotected again. Another way to protect a file, not so much from glitches, but for privacy, in the event someone else has access to your bell light, is to put a password in the file. Enter the file's menu and open the file you want to protect with a password. Then bring up the file's menu again. Write a W. The bell light says, enter password. Write a word with special meaning to you that is not likely to be guessed by others, and make sure it contains no more than 6 characters. Or write a set of letters and numbers that mean something to you, but that would be hideous to anyone else. Press an E chord. The bell light says, enter password again. Re-enter the same password and press another E chord. From now on, when you want to open this file, you'll get the prompt, Enter Password. Each time you press an Oakwood from the file's menu to try to get into the file. If you write an incorrect password, the more light kicks you into a help file, saying, Help is open. To take the password away from the file, bring up the file's menu and press an Oakwood, as if you were going to open it. At the Enter Password prompt, press the dot 5, followed by an Oakwood. At the second Enter Password prompt, press another dot 5 cord, followed by an Oakwood. From now on, the file can be opened again, without a password. Next, we'll see how to delete files you no longer need. Point 8, deleting files. Let's delete the file called Jill. After all, it's just a junk file we're using for practice. We'll assume that you're currently in the Jill file as we go through this example. Get into the file's menu and at the Enter File command prompt, set a D. The bell light says Enter File to delete. Write the name of the currently open file, Jill, and press an E chord. The bell light says Delete, Jill, are you sure? Enter while in. Press Y. The bell light confirms, OK. Help is open. Enter file command. Since you have just deleted the file you had opened, the bell light puts you back into the help file. But now let's look at a slightly different scenario, where the file you want to delete is not the file that is currently open. Let's get rid of the file practice. First, get into your file address. It should still be protected from when we work through that example. Don't worry that you can't write in it for now. Get into the file's menu and at the Enter File command prompt, write a D. At the prompt, Enter File to delete, write practice, followed by an E chord. The bell light says, Delete practice, are you sure? Enter while in. Write a 1. The bell light says, OK. Enter file command. Where do you think you'll be when you enter the file's menu with an E? Right. Back in your address field. Why? Because the file you just deleted is not the file you had open. So the bell light went out into the binder and found the file you wanted to delete, tucked it, and returned you to your currently open file. It's like tossing something into the wastebasket under your desk. Here's another example of file deletion. This time, let's look at what happens when we don't have a file open but are pointing to a file we want to delete. Open up the help file with a PH sign cord. Get into the file's menu and at the prompt enter file command. Use dot 4 cord till you reach the file address. You're pointing to it. But it is not open. Press a D chord. The bell light says, File is write protected. Good. Remember, we had protected the address file from just this kind of potential disaster. If the address file had not been protected, though, the bell light would still have a safeguard for you. The prompt would have been, Delete. Yes, are you sure? Enter while in. All you'd have to do is write a letter N, and the bell light would simply say, Enter file command, and you'd still have the help file open. The final example involves deleting a group of files with similar names. If you're accustomed to using MS-DOS file naming conventions and wildcards, this section will be old news to you. But check out the command that lets you delete groups of similarly named files. From System 4.2, you'll remember that we explained how MS-DOS uses a two-part name for file. The file name portion can be up to 8 characters in length, and the extension portion can be up to 2 characters in length. A period separates the two parts. So a typical file name is something like letter.txt or address.doc. We also said that you don't have to have all 8 characters for the file name portion or all 3 characters for the extension portion. And in fact, We can have just the farmland portion without the period and the extension from any MS DOS command. You can use wildcard characters when you want to affect a group of files with similar names. For example, if you want to copy a bunch of files all ending with the extension TXT, or if you want to delete a group of files all beginning with the numbers 123. Likewise, the bailout understands these wildcard characters for certain file commands. The first of these commands we've encountered is the command to delete files. The wildcard characters are the asterisk, bar, or .16 in computer desk, and the question mark, or .1456 in computer desk. The asterisk replaces a group of characters. The question mark replaces an individual character. For instance, here you have the files letter.txt and letter.doc. The wildcard name for these two files is letter.com, because the part that is the same in both files is the file name, letter, and the part that is different is the extension, txt and doc. Therefore, the wildcard is the extension person. Likewise, if you have the files date.txt and rate.txt, the wildcard name for them is question mark ates.txt, because everything in their respective names is the same except for the wildcard first letter in their file name person. For further examples, see Appendix A. What does all this have to do with deleting files? If you have a group of files in the BrailleLite with similar names that you want to get rid of, from the files menu, write a G. The BrailleLite says, enter file to delete. The file name you write should include at least one wildcard. Just remember to write in computer there the asterisk and or the question mark you include as part of the file name. The BrailleLite finds the files with all the names that match your wildcard description and says something like delete file star.txt while n. Write a while to accept the deletion or n to cancel it. Clearly, this is a command to be used with caution, but it can save you time when you have a large number of files to delete that have some part of their names in common. If you have extra process of deleting groups of files all at once, use wildcard characters with the D command instead of the G command from within the files menu. When you respond to the D command with a wildcard file name pattern, it forces the BrailleLite to ask you whether you want to delete each file it finds with your wildcard character pattern, instead of asking you if you want to delete the whole group at once. This may seem tedious with a large group of similarly named files, but it is a safety net. Just in case there's one file out of that big bunch you really don't want to delete after all. The last thing we'll look at related to manipulating files is changing your size. Let's play with this concept next. Changing the size of a file. Throughout this section, we've talked a lot about the BrailleLite page. Let's briefly review this concept. A BrailleLite page is really a block of memory consisting of space equal to 4,096 characters. If you consider that a standard 11 by 11.5 inch piece of braille paper can hold a maximum of 1,000 characters, you can see that 4,096 is a lot. It's like having four pieces of braille paper each filled with characters in every single cell. And of course, that's not how braille pages are filled. You have spaces, which by the way, computers count as characters. You have blank lines for formatting purposes, etc. Blank lines are also counted by a computer, as the control characters we mentioned earlier, carriage returns and line feeds. Since the BrailleLite's memory is not pieces of paper, but rather a continuous space to be filled with characters, And since the Braille light doesn't care whether there's characters in text or some code characters, the blocks of 4,096 characters worth of memory called pages are hefty chunks of memory. Usually, when you create a Braille light file, it's a good idea to create it with only one page. Unless you know that you're going to be filling up the file very rapidly with data, why waste valuable Braille light memory by creating a file that has many blank pages? But the time will no doubt come when you do need to add a page to an existing file. The Braille light lets you add space to a file, but only in chunks or pages of 4,096 characters worth of space. Let's see how this works. First, you might want to check how much room there is left in your file. Unless you've gotten a file is full message when you try to write, or a not enough room message when you try to copy or insert, you're still okay. Let's work with your address file. Press on R chord from anywhere within your file to see how much room you have left. Chances are you have plenty. Now open the help file with the shortcut chord. That's 1456 chord. Another way to check how many characters are in a file is through the file menu. Bring it up with the usual O chord followed by an F and write a WH sound chord. .156 chord. The Braille lights are something like help 22,339 bytes. Enter file command. It displays something like 0 help 22,339 Remember, the number of characters counted includes everything in your file. Control characters, spaces, decorative characters, formatting strings, and so on. But it does give you a very accurate reading of the size of the file that you're pointing to from within the files menu. Bring up the files menu again, and this time, write just a WH sign. The bell light says, enter file name. Write address. And press an E chord. The Braille light tells you its size even though you haven't pointed to it. Here's .1 or .4 chord. And even though the address file is not currently open. If you entered the enter file name prompt with a wildcard description, such as the ones we described in the previous section, the Braille light would tell you the sizes of all the files fitting the wildcard pattern you wrote. In any case, you can use a WH sound chord from the files menu to get the size of the open file and just a plain WH sound to get the size of the file you're pointing to, even if it's not open, or the sizes of a group of files with similar names. Now leave the files menu with an E. You should be back in the help file. Since the last file you had open before you got into the help file was address, and since you got into help with the TH sound chord, pressing a Z chord should reopen address. Run through this example a couple of times for practice. We've jumped around a lot. Just to show you how flexible your Braille light is about leaping from file to file and giving you information about them quickly and efficiently. Now, we're going to make our address file bigger. Even though right now it's big enough, let's practice adding a page to it. First, we have to unprotect it because otherwise the Braille light won't let us do anything to the file. Find the file address from your files menu and open it, if you're not already there. Don't worry that the Braille light tells you the file is write protected. Get into the files menu and unprotect the address file with a U at the enter file command prompt. The Braille light should say, unprotected, enter file command. Now press that an E to exit the files menu and get back into your address file. Check out how much room there is left in the file at this point with an R chord. It should be considerable. Over 3,500 characters worth anyway, unless you have entered lots of names and addresses. Under normal circumstances, we'd say fine, leave the file as is and don't add to it. But for practice, let's make the file bigger. Get into the files menu and at the prompt, write a B. The Braille light says, enter number of pages to expand. check on E-Kid. The bell light says okay. And where do you suppose you are? Yes, right where you left off within your address file. The bell light simply gains you another page worth of memory and puts you back where you were in the file. If you want to increase the size of your file by more than one page at once, enter the prompt with a dropped number, indicating how many extra pages you want. But unless you know that you're going to be filling a file with a lot of data quickly, such as a file from your computer, it's probably better to increase pages one at a time, so that you don't waste valuable bell light space. How much room do you have in the address file now? Press an awkward. The number should be well over 8,000. Let's return the address file to its original one-page size. This is really too big for our purposes right now. Get back into the files menu and write an F if you enter some command prompt. The bell light says, enter number of pages to support. Press an E-code. The bell light says OK, and once again, leaves you back in your file where you had left off. If you want to decrease the size of a file, entering the prompt with a number of pages you want to remove deletes them from the end of the file. Did you get that? When the bell light adds or subtracts pages from your file, understand that the block is being added to or subtracted from the end of your file. You can't, for example, be 5 lines into your file and decide that you want a blank chunk of space between where you are and the next block of text you already had in the file. Or that you have a chunk of text you no longer want and therefore you'd like the bell light to subtract that block using the commands just described. How do you add and delete text? We covered that earlier. You use the insert command or the delete command within your file for those kinds of activities. The commands described in the present section have to do with big chunks of bell light memory. Can you see how crucial it is to keep track of free space in a file and to know how many characters are actually in that file before removing pages from the end of your file? Just as with previous commands within the files menu, you can make a file bigger or smaller, adding or subtracting bell light pages when those files are not open. As with other files menu commands, you point to the file first, and then if you're a B chord or F chord, for bigger and smaller respectively, and follow the prompt to make the file being pointed to bigger or smaller. And then we more than one file of personal data in the Braille light, let's see if I could copy an entire file into the one you have open. New. 6.10. Copying an entire file into the currently open file. Well, by now you should have at least a practice and an address file in your browser. Be adventurous and create a couple of other files too, or start adding information to your calendar.bil file. What we'll talk about in this section is how to copy an entire file into the one you currently have open.
Continue on track 5. Remove this cassette. Change your track selector switch back, and insert tape number 2.